New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're gonna cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're gonna make fun of people. We're gonna hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Ferrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just busted off a Dutchie Sunday driver grape spliff before she went to bed in New York City. The Big Apple, ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, are ready to drive in some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flash a party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Ferrell with Mafia again tonight, toll free, the number 844-843-6879, again. Toll-free, that means you don't have to pay, Slick, 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. So, I'm watching the end of this game. Zion with 25. He misses the free throw on the and one. So, the Knicks are up 6 with 250 and rolling left in New Orleans. On Bourbon Street, the Knicks had this game. They were up 10 with about 4 minutes to go, and they've messed around a little bit. I just saw Randall have this great step back J on the wing. And then when he landed, the ref was in his way. And I thought he rolled his ankle on the ref. The ref just, you know, get out of the way. I mean, honestly, like these refs, I don't understand. The guy hits a wing three and the ref's standing on the wing in the court when they are supposed to stand out of bounds. I mean, are they not supposed to be, like, literally on the outside, beyond the line, under the basket, on the other wing? Meanwhile, this guy's standing out on the wing, and Randall backpedaled after making this sick shot and tripped on the ref and rolled his ankle. Then he gave him the business, like, bro, I mean, honestly, get out of the effing way. What are you doing? But now Burks hits another three ball, and they go up 9 with a minute 55 and rolling left. So I'm into this game primarily because I bet on the Knicks to win outright. You got to love it, Mafia. I went with the Knicks on the road tonight at the Softy down on Bourbon Street, and I'm trying to finish the deal here. Buck 40 left. Burks with the pill. And once again, strong effort from Randall tonight. He's been going off. So has Burks. Oh, and Burks just missed the three. If that one would have fallen, I would have seen it all. I have seen it all. So anyway, in this game, I just wanted to break it down for you. Randall's got 30, including 5 threes, 8 boards, 4 dimes, 11 of 26 from the floor, 5 of 8 from downtown. Bullock's hit 4 threes. He's got 16. Peyton's got 11. Rose has 11. Burks has 21. Burks has hit 4 threes. But on the other side, same story as usual. Ingram with 27. Zion with 25. Zion, 10 of 18 from the floor. 8 boards, 7 dimes. I mean to tell you, this guy does whatever he wants. I mean to tell you, when Zion gets the rock, he just goes straight to the 10 and he either puts it in with either hand, dunks it, kisses it off the glass, or and or gets fouled and goes to the line. I mean, I know this guy. He's 5 of 8 from the line tonight. I mean, a guy goes to the line. I think every one of them was an and one. We welcome in our radio affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego near Tijuana. Do you wanna? Sports Map, Radio Network, Sports Byline Radio Network, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah, Soldier, Hoorah. It's Pharrell on a Bench with Mafia. 844-843-6879 is the number. But Zion does whatever he wants. I saw a story tonight where in the New York Post, I think it was, that's running now, that this is when the Knicks begin their quest for Zion Williamson. And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? Like, if I were the New Orleans Pelicans and David Griffin, I would no more let that guy out of New Orleans than fly a kite. I wouldn't even let him have a cell phone to call anyone out of New Orleans. I wouldn't even let him leave his house. He should be guarded 24/7 by Rottweilers. I cannot let that guy leave New Orleans under any circumstances whatsoever. Supermax his ass. Give him the biggest deal in the history of the world. I would no more let that guy leave my team, the Pelicans, and fly a kite. You gotta be kidding me. The Knicks are gonna get him. I've heard it all now. Like, how are the Knicks gonna get Zion Williamson? I understand everybody's talking about, oh, New York's a destination now. Everybody wants to play for the Knicks all of a sudden. First of all, I don't know if that's true. I think it's increasing the likelihood that players are gonna wanna play for Tibbs and the Knicks because the Knicks are good. They're not bad. Believe me, you. Tops in the league in defense. Defense against shooting percentage. Defense against threes. I mean, the Knicks mean business. That's why they're winning this season, because they're playing defense. It's Pharrell on a Bench.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us.
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on a Bench. The Knicks have this in the bag. They're up 10 with 20 seconds left, so they're going to win this game. It's time to shift. What do you think, Mafia? Should I watch Dallas and the Grizzlies, or should I turn on the one fighting on TNT? What do you think?
I'd say go Dallas Grizzlies. I'll put on one, and I'll let you know when the big fight comes up, because who cares about the other one?
All right, so you're going to tell me when the big fight comes on?
Yeah, I'll let you know when they're fighting for the belt.
You have it going right now, like, so that's a title fight tonight?
Yeah, the lightweight title, the one that Alvarez was trying to get to by winning that fight, is up for grabs now in this one. The champion is fighting.
What do you think Eddie Alvarez would do against Oscar De La Hoya? We mentioned that today on Coast to Coast, that he said he's in talks to fight De La Hoya. First of all, as you know, I think it's embarrassing that Oscar De La Hoya is getting back in the ring. I also find it embarrassing that Mike Tyson did it. I think it's embarrassing that Evander Holyfield's doing it, Roy Jones, anyone for that matter, that's shot, done, washed up, finished, brain mush, and they have no really skill left at all in the ring. I mean, the Tyson fight with Jones was embarrassing. It was flat out embarrassing. And the fact that Holyfield's going to fight Kevin McBride. McBride was the last guy that Tyson ever fought, and he beat him. That's how embarrassing that was. And now they're talking about, first of all, they're not even talking about it, they're having it. Holyfield's fighting McBride, and now De La Hoya is looking for a fight partner on whatever it is, July 3rd, wherever the hell it is. And all I know is, I mean, this guy's just tripping off. Yeah, he should not be boxing. First of all, his last fights were a tragedy. I mean, De La Hoya fell off a cliff. And the fact that this guy thinks he can still box at a high level in the ring against anybody is laughable to me. Flat out laughable.
Yeah, and that's why I think now they're kind of focusing more on a, you know, not traditional boxer. I think them going for an MMA fighter is more kind of indictment on where he's at and, you know, maybe realizing that, listen, I'm not going to beat a guy that actually does this for a living for real. He acted like he wanted to get in some top contender. I mean, Eddie Alvarez is a good stand-up fighter. Now, you saw that against that guy. Where he put him down. Then, of course, he had the ground strikes after that. We know he has a good wrestling base and all that, but he's a good, you know, stand-up, 1-2, you know, boxing-type fighter. But he's not a guy who's been practicing his whole life as a boxer, as a pro boxer. So it's a better matchup for him. But still, you know, at his age, not fighting for as long as he did, and, you know, knowing him and his lifestyle, that he was training for all these years, that still might be a bad idea for him too.
You know what else is on tonight right now is, I think, Vegas and the Kings. I think that game's starting up at Staples in Lipstick City. Let me just take a peek, see if we have action there. I'm in the new Magic City Studios in the Perella Palatial, and we are just absolutely styling. I've got everything going here, Mafia. So you haven't commented yet on the new look here. Obviously, I'm done with the, it would appear to me I've moved on from the Lemieux and Metallica, Miami Canes, Indiana Hoosier banner, which is what it was. My backdrop, let's just be honest, was a banner. And I sat in front of it for what, about 10 months? And now I've moved into the new studio. And what do you think of it? Do you like the angle? Like, this is the first angle that we worked on yesterday and for the TV side. And it's on our Sports Grid Radio YouTube right now if you want to see it. But the deal is that you were right. I had to take out all the glass in those pictures because there was reflection and lights and spotlights and tracking lights and TV reflection and camera TV lights. And it was all glaring off those glass in the frames. And now you see I've taken them out and I don't have that problem behind me. I got the old time 1919 photo going there. And I got a Clemente. I got the Roberto Clemente going over there. What do you think of the and the Penguin studio? You can see the logo on the Penguin sofa behind me. What do you think of the new look?
I mean, from what I've seen, just when we were going around with the camera yesterday, trying to find out the right angle for you to sit to do the show before the radio show last night, you know, it looks awesome. It looks pretty sweet. I haven't been over there to, you know, check it out in person and get the full view. But seeing the different walls there, where you have the baseball wall there, you had, you know, Lemieux on the other side, you had the Jager finger painting and the cup. I mean, I think everything's set out real nice. It looks pretty pimping over there. And I think you did a great job getting that all set up and built and, you know, decorating it. You know, there's stuff there that I haven't even seen, the memorabilia that you have. Some of that baseball stuff you pulled out, I didn't even know you had that.
Right. Did you have any, like, surprise at all that I actually hooked it up and got it running without your help?
Yeah, very surprised about that. When you called me just before the TV show on Monday saying, you're like, oh, I got this all set up. I'm just trying to figure out. I'm like, wait, what? You did? I expected a call, you know, Saturday or Sunday. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I need you over here. I'm going to break something. I can't deal with this. This is Taz, but I didn't get any of that. You know, you set it all up yourself. You had it going and it actually works. That's the, you know, not necessarily that you set up yourself is a surprising thing, but it actually works after you did. It is very amazing.
It is amazing that I have it all running and I turned it on. So did you like the angle today better on the camera shot of me being able to look into the monitor as opposed to looking down at the monitor or looking over at the monitor, that I have it jimmy-rigged all the way underneath the cameras, the TV cameras, to just look at it directly at the lens underneath it by, like, it's like no more than an inch and a half below the camera. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's a much better setup. It's been a long time for you being able to see anything. I mean, even when we were in the studio, it was kind of hard with the monitors where we had them to see, you know, the certain angles that were going, the graphics we were showing. So I think now you got it set up perfectly. It makes it easier for you. You're not putting a crink in your neck trying to, you know, read all the stats and the lines that we put up there. And, you know, it's a nice resource for you to be able to use during the show, I'm sure.
It's not easy to read at you know, my age or from a distance or up close or anywhere. Like, I can't see anything ever, anywhere. Basically, you know, I can play basketball without glasses. But I don't, I really, you know, I shouldn't be driving without them. And I shouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, I got to wear glasses for just about everything. The only thing I don't wear glasses for is because I can see, I just can't like read and stuff, right? Or like, you know, anything like that. So like, I go to the gym, I work out with no glasses, and I play basketball with no glasses and swim and stuff like that and kickbox. But I basically have to wear glasses the rest of the day for just about everything. If I'm working, put it that way, if I'm on the air, I have to wear glasses. If I'm doing the shows, I have to wear them. But I mean, once in a while, I won't wear them. Like, I think the other night on TV, I didn't wear them. And I just didn't care because I didn't have to read anything except right in front of my face. And even in front of my face, I have problems because I have to wear bifocals, which I have progressives. But the bottom line is, like, if I take my glasses off right now, I can see. I just have to hold the phone away from me a little ways. Like, I can't see it like this. I have to hold it like that down, believe it or not, like down by my knees or something. I can actually see it and get through. Here's Vegas. Nosek, what a goal, right on cue. Vegas takes the 1-0 lead in Lipstick City over to Kings. A beautiful 2-on-1 break, and Nosek came in on the right circle and just let a little ripper go, a little wrister, like a little snapper. He came in over the line and in the circle, just let it fly short side inside the post. What a shot up top where Grandma hides her reefer in the cabinet. It's Pharrell on the bench. For all on the bench, Seth Rohrabaugh covers the Penguins for the Great Pittsburgh Trib Review, and he's on the bench now to talk about the Penguins just sizzling right now. And then I think tomorrow night they play at PPG against the Flyers, the dreaded Flyers, and that communist Ron Hextall, who's working for the Flyers under the table running the Penguins, he's on the take. He's got to be up to no good. He's like KGB, like infiltrating the Penguins like that and like taking over the Penguins with Brian Burke. Seth, there's got to be something going on. He's still got to be a Flyer. Underneath it all, he's probably wearing orange underwear or something. I don't trust him.
Well, maybe it's payback for Jaromir Jagr playing for the Penguins. I'm sorry, playing for the Flyers, what, about 10 years ago? So maybe that's just payback in that sense.
I have a giant Jagr finger painting in my Magic City studios here at the Ferrella Palatial where I do the TV and radio shows. I have this gigantic, I mean, it's the entire wall of Jagr when he played for the Penguins and they won the back-to-back cups. On the other side of the room, I have a picture of Mario Lemieux autographed to me from Le Magnifique. I think I got that photo from him and autographed from him prior to asking him to sleep with my wife. I asked him, you know, Seth, the goal was to have him, you know, impregnate her, and then I would have been able to capitalize on those loins, you know, and just have the next Le Magnifique come out, and then I figure in 18 to 20 years I'd have, you know, a nice commodity there.
That's certainly a much more sound retirement plan than I have. I mean, I've worked for newspapers for 20 years, so I think your thing was a lot more light years ahead of than mine. So
I went to a Panther game one night in South Florida with her, and I saw him, and I've been friends with him for a long time, and I saw him, and he had never met her, and I brought her with me. And I was like, this is 34C. Now, listen, I'm going to run in and say hi to some of the boys and then go up and say hi to Mike Lang and Stigs and all the boys in Borky. You two go in like a room or something, make love, get it done, and then I'll come back in like 25 minutes and then we'll just, you know, go watch the game. And then he looked at me like I was half nuts. Well, as you know, Seth, I am half nuts. I'm more like three quarters nuts. And then my wife was like, you're a loser. And I'm like, this is a great plan. You're both fascists. You need to catch up with the plan here. And are you kidding me? Did they just score again? I mean, the Vegas Knights are scoring in droves over here, Seth. I got the game going on, but the Kings are wearing the Rogie Vachon uniforms tonight. It must be bad luck or something. Anyway, it's 2-0 Vegas now. I think it was Alex Tuck. So let's talk about the Penguins in all seriousness. Oh, by the way, I have a Stanley Cup in here as well, 1 of 5. You know, they got so many, I lose track. And then, you know, I think, I also have another Lemieux jersey that has the 85 Calder, 3-time Hart, 2-time Stanley Cup champ, Hall of Fame, 97, and Conn Smythe winner, 91-92, and autographed to me. That one's another good one that I got in here. And then the rest of the photos in here are nude photos of all the porn stars I interviewed when I worked for Howard Stern. I know you're probably not into that, Seth, but if you are, you got to come by sometime and I'll show you all of it. I think you get a big kick out of it.
I think it's fair to say I'd be more interested in the latter than the former. I see the former quite a bit, so.
I knew he'd like it, Mafia. I knew he'd like my plan. All right, so 9 of 11, is that about right, Seth, that they've actually won 9 of 11 and the only two burps were the Bruin game, which was that wild 12-goal game in Boston, and then the game at the Rangers at the Garden when it was 12 goals and they lost 8-4. Are those their only two hiccups in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, and they were, you know, pretty big hiccups. I mean, they did give up a lot of goals and they really kind of abandoned how they usually played in those games. But other than that, they've really been kind of humming along here, really playing pretty sound systematic hockey all throughout this. And that's with a lot of, you know, their big guys out of the lineup here. So, and maybe there's something to be said when you have, you know, minor leaguers or rookies or whatever in the lineup that they tend to stick towards the system a little bit more than maybe an ensconced veteran, like say an Evgeny Malkin or whoever. But everyone seems to have bought in right now. You know, that's everyone from, you know, the top guys like Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang down to the, you know, the 13th, 14th forwards, guys like Mark Jankowski's Colton Skeevier, those guys. So, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens when they do get some of their more established guys, like Evgeny Malkin and Kasperi Kapanen back in the lineup. But, for the time being right now, I mean, they're running on all cylinders here, playing really sound systematic hockey with, you know, a somewhat depleted lineup.
What has happened, in all honesty, to Evgeny? Like, I know he's injured, he's been out, but I mean, in all honesty, the drop-off this year has been significant. Like, it's noticeable.
Well, as far as the immediate sense, he's dealing with a right knee injury, and that's why he's been out of the lineup here for about three, four weeks now. He had a pretty rough start to the season. I think there were some issues there with his family. He was living in Florida at the time, and I think that was something of a distraction. They moved back, or they moved into his home here in Pittsburgh for the time being, and his play actually started to pick up. He was playing with Kasperi Kapanen, a former first-round pick, and all of a sudden, Evgeny Malkin was, you know, more than a point per game there for about 3-4 weeks, and then, you know, unfortunately, he had his knee injury that kind of brought all that to a halt, so... his season's been kind of disjointed in a lot of ways. It's almost kind of in three parts where he didn't play well for the first, you know, month or so. Then he started picking things up. Then he had the knee injury. So,
right.
He's expected to be back before the end, before the start of the playoffs, but, it's fair to wonder what kind of player he'll be, coming off a, you know, 4 or 5 week layoff here and coming off a knee injury.
Yeah. I didn't know all that stuff with his family. I didn't know all that. I didn't even, I knew he had hurt his knee, but I didn't know he had all these other distractions and everything. I just noticed that he just had a horrible start, and then he just wasn't producing. And like, you know, it's so obvious to me that, you know, because I've watched him like you have forever, his entire career, every single year, every single game, right? All these years. I live in New York City, but I still watch all the Penguin games, right? So I'm still a hardcore. I love the Penguins more than my family. So let's just be clear. And the Crosby is still, you know, producing at a high level, like unstoppable still. He's incredible. And then his buddy and the superstar Malkin that, you know, rode with him, you know, like two guys in a Western, right? Like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, right? Like the one guy's falling off his horse. Crosby's still doing it. Malkin isn't.
Yeah, the one thing Evgeny Malkin did say that he had some issues this past offseason finding any sort of ice time or, you know, good gym time over in Russia just due to the, you know, the COVID restrictions over there. That said, I'm not quite sure he was any more inconvenienced than any other NHL player this past offseason because of that. But he's 34, whatever it is now. You know, you obviously can't do the things at 34 that you could do at 27, but like I said, I thought there were some signs of hope there that he was arguably the Penguins' best player for about 2-3 weeks there before his knee injury, though. So we'll see where he is once he gets back in the lineup, you know, after such a long layoff and, you know, coming off a right knee injury. But like I said, it seemed like he really started to find his stride there after, you know, getting his family situation squared away and playing with, you know, Kasperi Kapanen also, too, I think really boosted his play as well.
So, Seth, let me ask you a question. The Penguins seem to be, in my view, scoring a lot of goals. You know, you go back to the 24th of March when they played Buffalo in Pittsburgh, they put 5 on. Then they played them again a night later and put 4 on them. Then they played the Islanders, put 6 on them. Then they played the Islanders 2-1, they beat them. And by the way, the Penguins have made the Islanders their B this year, just completely own them, 6 out of 8. But I'm scared to death of them in the playoffs. I'll get to that in a minute. But then they put 4 on the Bruins. That was on the 1st of April, April Fool's Day. And then they put 4 on the they put 5 on them when they lost 7-5. Still scored 4 against the Rangers in the loss. Then 5 on the Rangers in the comeback 2 nights later, beat them at the Garden 5-2. Then they scored 6 against the Devils, 5 more against them, you know, Friday and Sunday. I mean, Christ, that's a lot of goal scoring. That's not like scoring 2 or 3 goals a night. That's scoring 5 goals a night. I mean, what I just rattled off to you literally is about a 5-goal-a-game average.
Yeah, that's almost like 1980s numbers there with Mario Lemieux and, you know, Robbie Brown and Paul Coffey and stuff
right
there. But
right.
I mean, a lot of times it's not even like, you know, the top line that they have right now with Crosby, you know, Gensel and Rust. I mean, they're getting their fair share of goals, but they're getting goals from guys that, like, I mean, they're stepping in for some of the injured guys, but I mean, even then you wouldn't ever expect, like, Colton Skivier. I mean, he was placed on waivers on Sunday. He cleared. No one wanted him. So then the very next day he's in a lineup and he gets 2 goals. They have some guy from that they plucked out of the Czech Republic this past, a rookie, Radim Sohorna. He's never played North American hockey. He's got like 2 goals in 5 games. They're finding offense from these guys that they're plugging in the lineup. And, you know, again, I don't know that anyone's ever going to confuse these guys with, you know, Joe Mullen or Brian Trottier or anything like that, depth players
right
from the early 90s. But they're getting contributions from a lot of these guys that other teams maybe would have looked over otherwise. So, and their power play is humming along here pretty well. With Malkin out there, they've plugged in a guy named Jared McCann in there. And he's been on the top power play for like maybe 3 weeks, and he leads the team with 6 power play goals. So they're getting a lot of contributions from guys that have really stepped up and taken advantage of their opportunities.
All right, hold on a second, because I'm enjoying this so much that we're going to do a double. We're not going to let Seth leave yet. He's got to keep talking to me on the bench.
So many sports, so many memories, so many players, so many teams, so many great matchups, so many possibilities.
Now, are you really going to pass all that up?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
That's the problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, for All on the Bench with Mafia, we're talking to Seth Rohrabaugh from the Pittsburgh Trib Review about the Penguins. They've been hot 9 of 11. They've won 3 in a row. They're playing the filthy Flyers tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. And I actually think they're falling off the face of the earth. The Flyers have hit a wall. I mean, I think they just look atrocious. So I don't even like, honestly, like their goaltending is as bad as I've ever seen. I cannot believe what's happened to that Hart kid after the high grades and expectations and star status that everybody gave him. Boy, does he look terrible. And I mean, they don't even play him now. So it's crazy. But what I want to talk to you about is the Islanders. I know that the Penguins have beaten them 6 of 8, but that's neither here nor there, Seth. I mean, these games, you know, I guess for pride, whatever you want to call it, for business, for going through the schedule, they had to do what they had to do in their division. But the reality is they mean nothing at the end of the day when they have to, let's say, hypothetically play them in the playoffs. Now, if the playoffs started today, they'd play them. And we all know the last time what happened when they played them, they got swept. So I have to ask you, do you feel that because I just think they're a very dangerous team. I think that, you know, when they got Zajac and they got Palmieri, they added to an already incredible core. They lost Anders Lee, but this is a dangerous team that was, you know, a couple of like 2 wins away from the Stanley Cup Finals. How dangerous are they, do you feel, in a playoff mode, like just locked in playoff team, as opposed to the team that the Penguins have kicked their ass 6 of 8?
That's the one team out of the top four here in the East Division that I think the Penguins would be best to avoid, at least in the first round. I know that, again, you said, you know, they've beaten the Islanders up pretty good here throughout the regular season, but that was before they brought on Travis Zajac and Kyle Palmieri, as you mentioned. I think the Penguins actually have a lot better chance against Washington or Boston in the first round if they had to go through those two teams. The Islanders, and I give a lot of credit to Barry Trotz. For my money, he's the best coach in the NHL. Over the course of a 7-game series, he can identify weaknesses in your team, whether it's, you know, your fourth line or maybe your second defensive pairing, and he can find out ways to exploit it. It might take, you know, it might have to happen over the course of, you know, 6-7 games, but he'll figure out a way to exploit any kind of weaknesses you have in your team. And again, for my money, he's the best coach in the NHL. And I say that with all due respect to Mike Sullivan, who certainly has had a lot of success in the NHL. And the last two times the Penguins have played Barry Trotz in a playoff series, they've lost. That's, you know, 2019 against the Islanders, and going back to 2018 when Barry Trotz's last year in Washington, when Washington ultimately won the Stanley Cup for the first time. So they've had a lot of battles with Barry Trotz over the years. And, you know, in recent years, though, Barry Trotz has really, you know, kind of found some weaknesses in the Penguins' armor and really exploited them, I think.
I just wanted to say, Carver High, as you know, on my show, Mafia and Carver High are great. And Carver High, first of all, Mafia's a Ranger fan, and I think they're actually getting better. But the Islanders are better than the Rangers, even though the Rangers beat them the other day. It doesn't matter. The Islanders are the better team, and you know it. I know it. Mafia knows it. And all I know is I hate both of them, Seth. I just wanted to say that to you. I hate Mafia and his stupid team, and I absolutely loathe the Islanders and Carver High's face. I don't even want to look at his face. When they swept the Penguins in the playoffs, I wanted to kill myself. Mafia had to drag me off the GW Bridge one night when Camilleri beat him in the Canadiens in the playoffs. I literally jumped out of my car in the middle of winter and tried to jump off a bridge 300 feet in the air, and he lured me in with a fishing line and a hook and a fishing pole. But all I know is I hate him dead. And every time I have nightmares and I wake up in a cold sweat with no pants on, I see David Volek scoring that goal in 93. I can't even tell you what that team does to me. Like, My butt puckers when I think of them. I honestly hate them so much. Like, literally, if they break their legs, I'm happy. I'll have a 5 kegger at my house if anyone on their team breaks their leg. I'm not a nice person,
Seth. They
generally
have. They generally have a pretty rotten history against the Islanders all time. If you want to go back to 1982, I mean, they lost in overtime in Game 5 there. Back in 75, you know, that was the last team, or they were one of the teams that lost when they were up 3-0 in a series and lost 4-3. So, yeah, they don't have a good history with the Islanders in the playoffs.
So how did you get the gig at the Trib Review? And, like, how did you get your career going and get to cover the Penguins? Because when I was a kid, I was working at KQV. I was 23 years old, and Paul Steigerwald left to be the analyst with Mike Lang, and he left KQV, and I got his job. I don't know if you know those stories, but I started there, and okay. I used to run up the hill from KQV down on – whatever it was, right across from the, you know, U.S. Steel building. It was down one of those streets right there, right in downtown, right along one of those streets. And I used to walk from the station up the hill to the Penguins morning skates and to the games after, because I did morning and afternoon drive. And I'd go cover them every single day. And, you know, it just was the greatest thing in the world for me as a Penguin fan to be able to do that for a living. How did you get your gig and get to cover the Penguins?
Well, I used to work across town at the Post Gazette, and I did a blog, you know, back when blogging was maybe a little more in vogue in the mid 2000s. Did that for about 13, 14 years, left the Post Gazette, did some freelancing. I did a stint at the Athletic as well. Then, 2019, the Trib, for anyone who's not, immediately aware, it's a little bit more out east suburbs, and I'm from the east suburbs in North Huntington. So the Trib's more or less my hometown paper, and, you know, they had an opening. I applied for it, and fortunately enough, they saw enough in me to give me the job here. And I've been fortunate enough to cover it for the Trib here for the past 2 years. So I've been covering them on and off for the most part for the past 13, 14 years and the last 2 years with the Trib. And it's been a fantastic 2 years so far.
So what was it like for you? I mean, you have to be honestly, like, I'm the biggest homer fan ever of the Penguins. I make it very clear to everyone that they can all die. I love the Penguins, and you can die. Your team, root for your team, go ahead and die. I don't care. I hate all of you dead. And every team in the league I hate. I hate everyone. I just hate certain teams at a different level than others. But have you, like, fallen in love with them, being from Pittsburgh and everything like that? You have to just be in love with them. Like I said, like, I mean, you know, I got a hot wife and really cool kids and everything. They're in high school and stuff, but they're not, you know. I mean, the Penguins are my lover. I mean, my wife's hot and good looking and everything, good in bed, but she's not as good in bed as the Penguins. I mean, the Penguins are, like, the greatest lover ever. What's it like for you to cover a team that you love? Like, are you, because I'm not objective at all.
Yeah. I mean, you get pragmatic. Let's put it this way. I always tell people the thing I root for is regulation, because when they go to overtime or shootout or anything like that, that makes deadline's a little bit more leaner, I guess. So I'm always rooting for regulation. A 4-1 win's always perfectly fine by me. So, but let's put it this way. I have a hard job, but it's not real work. You know, I don't have a 9-to-5 gig. You know, God bless anyone that has to kind of do that grind and everything like that. That's not for me. And I'm very blessed that I don't have to kind of do that Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 gig. And, it's an erratic job, but I'm an erratic guy, so I think that's a blessing in a lot of ways. So
that's great. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I don't ever take this job for granted. So hopefully, if I ever do, God help me.
Yeah. Do you? Where did you go to high school?
Norwin, out in Westmoreland County.
Yeah,
you're
I know
from
where
Mount
that
Lebanon,
is.
Right?
Yeah, I'm from Mount Feminine.
Yeah, I'm an
ex-6. Yeah, that's all right. I love Pittsburgh, all parts. I know where that is. I know where everything is in Pittsburgh. I love it. Who knows? Like, I've always talked about, retiring to the beach, because I lived in California for a long time and Huntington Beach, and lived in Miami for a long time, and I have a place down there. But I like Pittsburgh better than all of them. I mean, that's kind of my... home away from home. You know, I'm a Steelers season ticket holder. I got my letter from Art Rooney the other day that Art Rooney the second that I didn't owe him any money. Like that my last year COVID year bill that I paid, I'm up to snuff. I have everything paid off for this upcoming season. And I even get an extra game with Russell Wilson. So I come in for select games and I bring cool people with me or my son or my friends or people I know in Pittsburgh and, you know, everyone. I go with like really cool people to the games and I, you know, go in there, fly in, hit a game, go home same day, or I'll go in on a Saturday, stay overnight and party and then, you know, go out for really expensive dinner and eat my face off and then get up and have a huge breakfast and then go to the game and then fly home after the game. I love it. Like, I live in New York City and I hate all the teams here dead. Like I can't stand them. And so, imagine me living here and putting up with all this nonsense and all these idiots here in New York. And I'm a Pittsburgh kid, you know what I mean? So like I get in a lot of fights and arguments and then I just shank people with their lousy teams that they have here. Like the stupid Giants think that they can dance with the Steelers and their six Super Bowls. Please. The Islanders with their pathetic four Stanley Cups. The Penguins have five. I mean, we stole your girlfriend. I got all the bragging rights. The Pirates even 71 and 79, and then of course I have a picture behind my head right now of Mazeroski hitting that home run of the Yankees in 1960 in the ninth inning. I rub that in my friends' faces all the time. I mean, they can't stand me, Seth. It's unbelievable. But let me ask you one other question about that team in terms of do they like the second coming of Kapanen?
I think they do. I mean, I think there was maybe some issues early on, or they actually benched Kapanen, where he wasn't maybe playing within the system, and you know they sent a message to him, and the message was received. So, ever since then, you know, barring his injury, he's been one of their biggest drivers on offense, and he's bought in terms of the defensive responsibilities, always back checking, always being one of the first guys back to support the defenseman and things like that. So. Again, there were maybe a little bit of a hiccup, maybe a little bit of a miscommunication as far as what's expected of him. But after that, little faux pas, he was able to kind of get his game in gear there. And, again, he's probably the one out of all their injured guys that's probably closest to coming back. You know, Ron Hextall said about 10 or 14 days. So that should give him a little bit of time to kind of come back and get his conditioning back up. But, no, after that little hiccup, he got on board and, is really, pleased the coaching and management so far.
Hey, well, it's a blast talking to you. You're great. And I'd love to have you back on. We'll get you on the TV side on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid and then get you back on the bench on the radio side when the playoffs roll around. I got 15 games left. Enjoy the Fire game tomorrow night. It's great having you on the show. Enjoy the rest of the campaign. Let's see how they do in the playoffs. I can't wait to see how Jeff Carter fits in. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about him. He's old anyway. I still think he'll give them something in the playoffs. We'll catch up with you again real soon. Thanks, Seth.
I appreciate the invitation, man. Be well.
All right, Seth Rohrabaugh of the Pittsburgh Trib Review on a bench. Tell him thanks. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. Carlos Rendon just threw a no-hitter for the White Sox tonight against the Indians in the Chicago 8-0 win. And Jose Abreu made a play in the ninth inning at first base that was absolutely unbelievable with his just a stretch-out foot on a grounder to his right. And he reached back and got this guy at the bag. It was the closest play you ever seen in your life. And somehow they called him out. And they didn't even argue it. There was no, it looked like no review or anything. It was really close. I know the Indians looked to see if he was safe. They showed it a bunch of times. I mean, it was so close. I don't even know how they saw that. It was that. I mean, the naked eye couldn't even tell from the angle I saw. But look, the guy had a perfect game in the ninth with one out, and he beaned a guy. And then whatever. He still got a no-hitter. He finished the game and no hits. So you got to admit, it's very impressive. I think he had 7 strikeouts in the game. I think, isn't that about right? I think he had 7 strikeouts. And I'm trying to get it all here. Mafia, it's just so, 9 innings, 7 Ks. He threw 114 pitches, no hits, no runs, no walks. Beaned a guy in the ninth. That was it. And Musgrove did the same thing. He beaned a guy and faced 28 batters. I'm guessing he faced 28 batters, your boy Rondon, right? Or did somebody else get on? Nobody walked, so it had to be 28. So same thing as Musgrove of the Padres. Carlos Rendon tonight, a no-hitter for the Chi Sox on the south side.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.